We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Craig is usually a fan of water cooler talk, but it's draft season, and that's all anyone wants to talk about. The Athletic has loads of articles about this year's draft. But Greg doesn't have The Athletic, so now he's filling up his water bottle in the bathroom sink. Which, to remind you, is the sink people use after they use the bathroom. Get The Athletic and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
It is a Felder Friday edition of College Sports Now. It is the week before Thanksgiving. We are getting ready for the penultimate week of college football's regular season. There's a lot of football to talk about and a lot that we are going to cover here over the next hour or so, give or take. We got Michael Felder with us from Stadium TV. Felder, good day, sir.
Hey, man, how you doing?
I'm doing great. We're going to check in with Bill Riley, who is out in Salt Lake City. He is the radio voice of the Utah Utes, and he also does a daily radio show out there for ESPN 700. So we are going to talk to the guy who's going to be calling what is, in my opinion, Felder, the game of the week, number three Oregon at Utah. The Ducks are a underdog in this game, and I got to be honest, man, this is one of those weekends from my perspective where I think college football could implode. I think there are some dreams that are going to be ended on Saturday afternoon, and I'm here for it. I think it's going to be a lot of fun, man. I love November football. I know it's a busy time of the year. Everybody's just kind of tired and overworked and just stretched really, really thin, especially those of us that work in the business of college sports. But the games, the rivalries, I mean, they are – they're as good as it gets all year. So I'm here for it. I think it's going to be a great weekend of football and a great weekend of theater, my friend.
Yeah, no, I think listen, there's a lot going on this week. Obviously, you mentioned the Oregon-Utah game, a game where the number three team in the country is an underdog. I think that Iowa State is an interesting game against Oklahoma.
Yep.
I mean, we've got, obviously, UTSA trying to stay undefeated. We got a ton of stuff to get to. Does Texas lose six in a row? There's a lot on the table, a lot on the racket. And so this is going to be a really – I think it's a week where you find out – you know how they always say, like, teams change? Like, the team that you had in September isn't the team you have in November?
Yeah.
I think we're going to find out if that change is good or bad in the next – like, obviously, to finish out the season.
Hey, speaking of change, just real quick, looking at Thursday Night Lights, is there going to be a change in Durham? Duke football is, I mean, Louisville came to town, and Malik Cunningham went to work with a pair of pliers and a blowtorch. Like, that was amazing watching him carve up Duke last night. Like, that was thoroughly enjoyable. No offense to the Duke football fans who listen to this show.
I mean, he was unstoppable. Fully, right? Like, fully unstoppable.
He had seven touchdowns, 303 through the air, and 11 carries for 224 on the ground. That's ridiculous.
I mean, he legitimately had, 500 yards of offense. And so, like, to me, I don't think it's issue of Duke making a change, though. Do you think that that's where it is, where they're going to fire him?
I don't – I mean, that's not – I know Duke has a new athletic director. It's really up to Coach Cutcliffe. The guy's been there for a decade and a half. I mean, he's one of the deans of coaching in the ACC. So,
and one of the most well-respected people in this entire field.
Absolutely, yeah. And that's why you don't have people going after him, right? Like you don't have analysts or TV people saying, you know, get him out of here. That being said, Duke is 0-7 in the ACC. I know they've been banged up, but this is supposed to be an offensive guy, and the offense ain't there either. So, look, I just a quick note, like a sub-story to what we're going to discuss. Duke is in a bad way. Louisville 62-22. Just an annihilation. I am excited for some Washington State, Arizona Friday night lights. I'm looking forward to that one. I still think the Cougs are, yeah, you're like, man, they're 5-5. They're a fun 5-5. They're a good 5-5. Those guys have been through some stuff in Pullman this year. Okay.
Yeah, on and off the field, and they're interesting. Arizona, to me, I do find them. You want to talk about fun? They're a very fun team. Like, well, what they're putting together, and obviously they couldn't hold it together. But I mean, this is a team when they played Utah. Like that was a football game.
They led Utah in the first half multiple times.
That was a football game. That was good. And they've been through a lot, too, between injury. Like, when McLeod – like, I thought McLeod – them watching them play with McLeod was awesome, and then, bang, injury. So, I mean, they've been through, what, three quarterbacks this year?
Four quarterbacks this year? Yeah, I think it's more than three, actually. Yeah.
Yeah. And – I'm trying to keep my story straight. We're on Plummer. We have gone through Gunnar Cruz and Jordan McLeod.
Mm-hmm.
So it's just very there. I mean, there that you want to, you mentioned the pliers in a blowtorch. What about this is scotch tape and bubble gum, and they're figuring it out. I think that they've shown flashes of really cool things. So they are a fun team. They are remarkably, you know, manic, right?
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, so I can absolutely go with you there on that journey. I'd say Air Force Nevada, my man.
Yeah.
I mean, that's a game of meaning. Right?
In the Mountain West. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. Air Force is still within striking distance of Utah State. Nevada, obviously, they go down to the Aztecs, but they're still within striking distance. They're still there. They're still hanging around. They're still forcing the issue. I like it. Like, I mean, that game last week, I thought Carson Strong might be able to do it, but San Diego State prevailed against Nevada. But he had a drive, and I didn't do it for Tape Don't Lie, but I absolutely have it still written down where he had a drive where he showed every single thing that makes him a very real NFL draft prospect.
Yeah, I hope that guy's playing for the Falcons next year, honestly, based on what I saw yesterday. But anyway, let's move on. There is an 11:30 Eastern kick tonight, by the way. San Diego State at UNLV. Felder, you will be watching that. So
yeah, the second screen. That's the second screen, but I'll have it on.
It's a marathon, like, man. We got a lot of games. I think there's football every day next week.
Next week?
Maybe Monday. They're not going to go toe-to-toe with the Monday Night Football. But you've got Maction Tuesday, Wednesday. We got Egg Bowl Thursday. There's tons of games on Friday. I mean, Thanksgiving week is absolutely
stuffed. We've got Tuesday next week.
Part of the fun.
Next week we've got Tuesday, Thursday, big Friday, which makes for a little bit easier Saturday.
Yeah, that's true. And a lighter load.
Next Saturday, I don't have a Sunday show.
Bang, bang.
Saturday. Man, I don't have a Saturday show.
Quit calling my desk phone. I'm not answering this thing. I'm at the office right now, Felder. My bosses don't listen to this show. I don't want to be here. I'm exhausted. Like, I'm here. You know what? Shout out to our boy Michael Serber. It's his birthday. Longtime CSN listeners.
Happy birthday.
Longtime CSN listeners know all about Serber. He is the straw that stirs the drink and has for many years. He's taking the day off. And I'm here because it's his birthday lunch. We're going to go and grab some pizza. So
nice.
happy birthday, Serber. Hit him up on Twitter if you're listening to the show, @L_Serberino. Our man Trip Hurd is filling in. You will hear him a little bit later for That's My Dog. By the way, everybody who made a That's My Dog pick last week got that check, son. Yeah, we all picked winners last week.
We're back on track.
All right, so Bill Riley's going to be stopping by here in about 15 minutes. Felder, let's go ahead and jump into the Felder 5 and break down some of the things you're looking forward to on the field in Week 12.
Yeah, it's six this week, and it's only six because everybody's going to want us to talk about this game. I thought we might like front porch it a little bit, but we didn't. So I'm going to add it. I'm putting it at six. Michigan State, Ohio State. It's good on bad and bad on good. And what I mean by that is coming out of this Mel Tucker extension, which what'd you think about that?
Well, hang on a sec. Has that been signed or is that just reported?
I mean, it was reported. I assumed it doesn't get reported unless it's signed.
Okay. I didn't know it was inked. Like, I didn't know that it was signed, sealed, and delivered. To quote Stevie
Mel Tucker
Wonder.
Extension. They're working on it. So,
well, you know who else is working on it? LSU. So
yeah.
That's why I'm wondering, like, yo, is this done? Like, is this locked in? But yeah, it's a ton of money.
Yeah.
It's a ton of money for a guy who may end up closing the season losing, you know, two of his last three.
Yeah.
Or three of his last four games. You know what I mean? Like, it's been a meteoric rise. I like Mel Tucker. I think he's a great head coach. But that's amazing money. That's like $9.5-10 million a year money.
I think he is uniquely positioned to excel in the current landscape of college football as a guy who worked under the best recruiter of all time, Nick Saban, worked under another tremendous recruiter in Kirby Smart, so he understands that element of it. And as a guy who spent so much time in the NFL, and in the NFL, you have to sign free agents. And you have to get them to mesh with the team immediately, which is how I view the transfer portal, right? You have to be able to take a guy, I'm not going to call it the scrap heap, but like you got to grab a guy out of the portal and fit him into your team. And that's a lot like NFL. Like there's NFL teams that sign a guy and he's got to play in 3 days. And he's able to do that. And I think that's what makes him uniquely positioned for this modern era. But going back to the actual game, good on bad and bad on good, both of these teams, either way you slice it, when Michigan State's on offense, that's good versus bad.
Yeah.
With respect to Ohio State and their ability to stop the pass, when you have, what's his name, Speedy Naylor and who's the other kid, Reed, and when you have that dynamic, that ability, the ability to push the ball down the field, Jaden Reed, you have the ability to push the ball down the field. You can be explosive, and obviously you throw in Kenneth Walker, you can be explosive. So what does that look like? That looks like maybe they're going to be able to score against Ohio State. And the craziest part is both of these teams are also very good against the run. So it's not like you're going to lean on your run game, just throw it 50 times. Neither one of these teams has guys that are good at getting sacks. Neither one of these teams has a good passing defense, a good secondary, a reliable secondary. The linebackers, quite frankly, you know what I'm going to say? They suck shit.
There's the E. We've earned it.
When it comes to coverage, they're good against the run, but when you ask them to go into space, it's a nightmare. I mean, Michigan State fans know. Kravaris Crouch, when he's in the game, throw the ball every single time he's in the football game. There is a play against Purdue where Purdue does a play action fake. He comes diving down straight, run hard into the line of scrimmage. And then he literally, you know the thing where you put your hands on your head and you're like, oh no.
Yeah, surrender cobra.
He does that in the middle of the play as Purdue throws for a first down.
Never a good thing. I'll be honest with you, Felder. Michigan State, Ohio State, that's a bloodbath. Like, this is going to get out of hand.
You think Ohio State's just going to blow, just destroy?
Yeah. I think it's going to be like Purdue last week where it's, you know, 28-7, start of the second quarter, something like that. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I absolutely can see that. I think that the explosiveness of Michigan State is not to be discounted, though.
Sure.
Remember, we thought there was a point where Michigan State looked like it was a bloodbath, too.
Sure. That's fair. But what happened in that game? Michigan was like, we're good. We're up 18. We're good. We're going to stop
now. That's the difference.
Ohio State ain't going to stop.
They're not going to stop. And that's going to be – that's the intriguing part. Because also, what if Michigan State gets off early?
Yeah.
What if they do take advantage of the bad safety play and the inability to cover people across the field? What if they take advantage of that?
That's, I mean,
now we've got points.
Yeah, if that's the case, then you've got Ohio State chasing, and that's thoroughly entertaining. You know, it's a noon game. Buckeyes are favored in this thing by 20 points, dude. Like, I'm just not like this thing's going to get out of hand.
No, I get it. And well, you mentioned chasing, so the big thing for me is, can you keep up? Baby boy, I lose my breath. That's Beyonce, right?
Yeah, that is.
But Wake's going to try to outpace Clemson, and I wonder what this looks like. You know what I mean?
Man, for a guy who has, in his own words, Felder, quote, quit music.
Yeah.
Like, you find a way to work it in every Friday, and we're all better for it.
Well, it's all music from that I remember. I still have, despite being destroyed in the head many times, I still have got a memory, a little bit of a memory here.
Baby boy. Oh, my God. That's so good. Beyonce in the house. Queen Bey. What's up, girl? All right, we got. Let's keep it rolling. Felder 5, because I know Bill is going to be calling in here shortly. I'll tell you what. Yeah. I think he already.
What do you think about? What do you think about Wake outpacing Clemson?
Well, let's get to Wake and Clemson in a little bit. I want to bring in our man Bill Riley from Salt Lake City and talk a little Pac-12 ball. Okay, let's do that. We'll hit pause. Bill Riley joins the show next.
Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte clear liners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you could pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
You can host the best backyard barbecue when you find a professional on Angie to make your backyard the best around. Connect with skilled professionals to get all your home projects done well. Inside to outside, repairs to renovations. Get started on the Angie app or visit Angie.com today. You can do this when you Angie that.
All right, let's talk some Pac-12 football. We got Bill Riley with us, radio voice of the Utes. What is a Ute? And we got a huge game coming up, Oregon at Utah on Saturday night. Bill, we'll start you off with an easy one. Oregon visiting Utah Saturday. Biggest game at Rice-Eccles since?
Well, maybe you were looking at my Twitter feed this week, Steve. since 2010, when it was number 4 versus number 6, Utah TCU game day was here. Mountain West Conference title, BCS bowl berth. It didn't end well for the Utes that day. Andy Dalton kind of carved them up to a tune of 47-7. But it's the biggest game at Rice-Eccles in the Pac-12 era for sure.
Wow. I mean, can you just talk about, because Felder and I have been talking Utah football for most of the season, but the journey, right? Like starting the season 1-2, the rivalry loss to BYU to where Utah is now. It's been remarkable to watch.
Well, let's go back to, sadly, Christmas Eve last year when Utah's best football player died with an accidental gunshot, Ty Jordan. He was an unbelievable player, Pac-12 Freshman of the Year. That cast a bit of a pall over the offseason, players missing this player. He was going to be a superstar, one of the greats in Utah football history. They get through that. Expectations are high. Preseason poll has USC as the favorite in the South, but most people thought Utah had a great chance. The Charlie Brewer experiment, all of it. You beat a 1AA team in the first game, but then you struggle. Offensive line struggles, offensive struggles, young defense. They lose to BYU, they lose to San Diego State. In the big picture, not bad losses, but certainly not losses that were expected. So you're sitting there 1-2, you begin Pac-12 play, and you look okay against Wazoo, so you're 2-2. Then you lose another player to a murder at a house party just off of campus. Then all of a sudden you've thrown everything into disarray, and somehow this team rallies, comes together, and they begin a roll in the Pac-12. They've lost one in Pac-12 play. They kind of beat themselves that night at Oregon State. It's been a pretty remarkable transformation, and it's been in a year like I've never been part of, and I know Kyle Whittingham has neither.
So, Bill, you mentioned the off-the-field turmoil. You mentioned the team coming together. As we see that kind of manifest itself on the field, what is it that's helped the offensive line improve? What is it that's got – is it Cam Rising coming in and being able to run a little bit that's helped the offensive line out? Is it the running game itself that's fueled them? What do you think has helped everything kind of come together?
Well, I think it starts with the offensive line, Michael. I do. I think it was just reps together. They didn't have their five guys, and they probably needed a few more reps together. Credit Jim Harding, the offensive line coach. But there's no denying that when Cam Rising came on the field late in that San Diego State game, he had a different kind of way about him. Remember, he won the job a year ago and then was sidelined in the first quarter of the USC game. Going after a ball that was fumbled, he tore his labrum. So this was a guy that won the job a year ago. He's been in the program. He is well-liked. I say this all the time. He's a connector. He could walk into any meeting room on the team, offensive line, defensive line, secondary, running backs. His teammates absolutely love him. And he's just got one of those swagger, don't care about what's going on outside type attitudes that carries over. So his emergence, the offensive line's emergence, the running game followed. They had good backs, but – you know, Tavion Thomas was a guy that we didn't know much about. He came in late. He was a JC guy. Kyle Whittingham raved about him in fall camp. Then he had fumbleitis early on. Well, once he started to hang on to the football, you've seen what's happened. He had, you know, he had 8 touchdowns in 2 games, 14 touchdowns on the season. So it's been a lot of things that have really come together. But really, you know, I think it's just this locker room kind of circling the wagons and then on the field having the right mix of guys together.
All right, so this is something that's unprecedented, but we do a thing called Felder 5 on the Felder Friday, and the number one thing for me is Cam Rising versus Oregon's defense, and can he keep that extra TD per game train up? Because I was looking at Oregon, or I was looking at Utah, and over the course of the last 5-6 seasons, they've averaged about 30 points. Now they're up to 36 points. That's an extra touchdown a game. Can he keep that up against an Oregon defense that at all three levels has some big playmakers?
That's going to be a good question. Because he's been really good. He's been really smart with the football, too. I think so, because I think this is the most well-balanced Utah offense that we've seen. When you talk about weapons across the way, wide receivers, tight ends, running backs, the offensive line playing well, and then you've got Rising, who is what I like to call a true dual threat. Sometimes we label guys dual threat quarterbacks. They can really run, but they're just okay passers. Rising's got great legs, and he can really throw the ball. His accuracy is right about 64-65%. Throws the deep ball. He can hit all three levels. But you're right. This is the first time that Utah has led the Pac-12 in scoring in their 10-plus years in the league, and they've done it now for back-to-back weeks. To me, the offense is clicking right now. Oregon is an interesting study because they've got dudes, as you just mentioned, all over the place. But they don't always play to the level of their dudes, if that makes sense. And I think the national media has fallen in love with the Ohio State narrative. If you've watched Oregon the way we've watched Oregon out west week in and week out, this is a good football team, but they only have moments of greatness. They don't really have sustained greatness. And, you know, if that happens once or twice, you might think they're one-offs. But I kind of think that's who they are when you've done it all season long. So I think tomorrow night's game is going to be a really, really good game. And I think, and I know we always talk about the game being decided in the trenches. To me, it might be the quarterback that is able to make the play in the key situation. Anthony Brown, can he make a play with his arm and not with his legs? If Utah sells out to make sure he doesn't beat him, can Anthony Brown make the throw that's needed? And can Cam Rising do the same thing?
Yeah, that's a great point, Bill. The national perspective of Oregon is different than the Oregon fans' perspective of Oregon, which is like, why aren't we better? Like, why is our quarterback struggling in key moments? I think it's a great point. Bill, in addition to your radio role as the voice of the Utes, you do a daily talk show. You're on ESPN 700 in Salt Lake City. You talk Pac-12 football every day. I'm curious to get your take, like zooming out a little bit, looking at the Pac-12 as a whole. You got some big-time job openings at Southern Cal and at Washington. Yep. It feels like this is a conference that over the next couple of weeks is going – like it's in a transition. Those are big boy jobs. Those are national championship programs. I know it's been a while, but still, like, describe – like the mood and how important you think the next couple of weeks are in terms of filling those jobs and the trajectory that that's going to make this conference have over the next several years.
Well, it's huge. I mean, the SC thing's weird because we've been on like Clay Helton watch out in the Pac-12 for, it feels like since the day he got the job.
Sure.
And Clay was a great guy and a good coach, but he wasn't the right guy. SC's problem is they have a culture problem. It's not a dude problem, because they still recruit well and they've got guys in the program. They haven't had a good development and culture there since Pete Carroll left. You know, whether it was Sark,
Texas.
Yeah, whether it was Sark, whether it was Kiffin, whether it's Clay Helton now, they've made the wrong hire. And that's really it's easy to do it once or twice. It's pretty amazing to do it four consecutive times. So Mike Bone got the job here now, and we'll see what he does. Everybody's looked at Luke Fickell. You know, they're USC. They can get who they want to get, but whoever they get has got to do a better job creating and building a culture and developing players, because there's plenty of talent in the program. They get five stars till the end of time. But they don't do much with those five stars once they get them. The Washington job's interesting, too, because that's a terrific job as well. It's not quite USC, but I would say after USC and Oregon, it's probably the third best job in the conference. They've got to do a better job, too. Jen Cohen just gave that job to Jimmy Lake, and, you know, it's funny. She says she's going to lean on Chris Peterson. Well, Chris Peterson was the guy who stepped down. I would assume Chris Peterson probably recommended Jimmy Lake. That's a big job, too. So you're right. There's going to be a land shift. There's Washington State is a job that's open.
Sure.
It makes you wonder, too. There's been some buzz around Chip Kelly, depending on how he leaves. I'm not sure that they move on from Chip Kelly, only because UCLA has moved on from a lot of coaches. I think they're still paying, or maybe just finished paying, Jim Mora. And they're paying Steve Alford still. I'm not sure they can move on from Chip Kelly, because it's going to cost them quite a bit of money. And then it's going to be interesting to see, too, with, like, the Cal job. Is Justin Wilcox happy at Cal? He's a good coach.
Agreed.
But being the coach at Cal is not the easiest thing. They've pretty much put up high hurdles in front of him for the last couple of years. Would he look elsewhere? You know, what happens at Arizona State, depending on how they finish, with all the noise around the program? I'm not sure they move on from Herm, only because Ray Anderson is tethered to Herm. You'd almost have to move on from the AD and the head coach. But it's going to be an interesting thing to see what happens down there, especially with the NCAA still lurking.
Yeah, I want to stick there in the Pac-12, because you mentioned, obviously, UCLA. You mentioned Arizona State. As a newcomer, the newest team in the Pac-12, and that feels kind of old now because you've been there a while. Has Utah settled into the rivalry mode with any of the Pac-12 South teams or cross divisional? What have they settled in on? We know about BYU, but is there a team in there that fans are starting to learn to love to hate?
Yeah, we talk about that all the time. The league tried to force Colorado as a rival. I mean, come on, you've got to have meaningful games, and you've got to play a few times and recruiting battles and things. You know, fans have to dislike each other. You know, Colorado fans are just, you know, walking in their Birkenstocks around the campus at Boulder and enjoying the clean air. I would say if there was one that's kind of developing, it might be Arizona State, because Utah and ASU have played tight games. They're division rivals, and they go after a lot of the same players in recruiting. You know, SC and Oregon are targeting all five stars all the time. Utah gets a five star here and there. They're mostly targeting three and four guys, but they kind of recruit the same neighborhoods. And they've Utah's won some and lost some in recruiting battles. That, you know, Arizona State kind of plays a chippy brand of football, so some of the games in recent years. So, you know, rivalries take some time, and you've got to have some games. But I think if there's one school, I mean, they play great games against SC, but nobody that's a fan of SC would say that Utah's a rival. So I'd probably say ASU.
Bill, I'm going to let you go on this one. It is November. It is the overlap season. You got a lot going on. What is the Thanksgiving can't-miss food at the Riley household?
Ooh, man. I do a mean turkey on the smoker. I'm not going to lie to you, but turkey's kind of a staple. You're probably looking for a side. I do a cheesy corn that's really, really good. And you can never beat good mashed potatoes. with that gravy that comes off from the turkey. So my cheesy corn's awfully good, and my mashed potatoes are darn good, too.
I'll be there. Thank you, Bill. Appreciate it. Hey, always enjoy catching up, Bill. Have a good call on Saturday. We'll be listening.
Anytime, guys. Thanks.
There you go. That is Bill Riley. That's great stuff from Salt Lake City. And I'm not going to lie, cheesy corn? I'm going cream corn next week. That's something that I do well, but I've never added cheese to the equation.
We do a cream corn with a little goat cheese in there.
Interesting.
Yeah.
I can't wait, man. We do another show where we talk about food. You can check that out, Hand in the Dirt. It's a gardening podcast about football and also a lifestyle podcast. But, yeah, man, I love Thanksgiving, and it's coming. There's just a lot of work that's kind of sandwiched around it. That's the only downside. But
are you working on Wednesday?
When you say working, Felder, like, can you expand on that? Or do you mean, like, in the office?
Doing your job that you get a W-2 for.
That never stops, unfortunately.
I got to go in the office on Tuesday.
The problem with this is you're talking to somebody who has to deal with college basketball, and Thanksgiving week, thanks to like ESPN and it's not just them, it's any sports channel, like there is a programming void
right
that week. And so what is next week? It is college basketball tournaments all across the country, all across the hemisphere. They're down in the Caribbean. Like they're normally in Maui, but they're not allowed in Maui this year, so they're doing it in Vegas. It's wall-to-wall basketball. And unfortunately, like, I'm swimming in logistics for my schools. So I'm hoping my phone doesn't ring on Wednesday, because if it is ringing, it's because somebody can't get hooked up in a gym in the Bahamas. And that's going to be a problem, because at that point you're like, well, you got a cell phone, because that's the best we're going to be able to do.
Yeah, I mean, I'm in studio Wednesday.
You know what though? If I'm in studio and I'm you, I'm going Adapt 11s on that ass. Like we're not playing.
They're too loud.
They're sneakers. What do you mean?
Every time you move, they adjust and make noise.
And the mic picks that up.
Yeah.
Really?
Every time you move, they go.
That's wild. I didn't know that. I thought it was like a one-time thing. Because they have no laces, and so it tightens, and then that's it.
No, it tightens, and then every foot move, it's the future of performance shoes. But every time you move, your foot changes angles, your ankle changes angles, and it adjusts to every single movement.
Interesting.
So if I'm at the touchscreen and I move to the side, move to the one other side, they're going to be...
Well, can't have that.
Yeah.
By the way, real quick, have you seen a look at Utah's uniforms that they're wearing on Saturday for this Oregon game?
I am not, but efforting currently.
Okay, they are in honor of the USS Salt Lake City, which was one of the cruisers of, I believe it was World War II? No.
Mm-hmm.
My history is lacking here. Might have been World War I, actually.
The grays?
Yeah.
Okay, let's go.
It's like
go.
A camo gray thing, but the helmets are like hand-painted.
Yeah, they're hard.
Yeah, this is going to be a pretty interesting... Yeah, World War II. Yeah, it was a World War II battleship.
There
we
go.
These things are, like, these unis, normally you think Oregon unis, but nah. Yeah, right. That's going to be a wild game. Unfortunately, or fortunately, based on your perspective, weather will not be a factor. It's going to be 50 and sunny in Salt Lake City.
Okay.
It could be weird, but I mean, that is the game of the week. I mean, you an unprecedented move. You took a Felder 5 question, and you handed it off to the guest to answer.
Yeah.
That's how big of a deal it is, Oregon, Utah.
I'm working on it. So Wake trying to outpace Clemson. What do you think?
What do I think? This game is on That's My Dog coming up later in the show. That's what I think.
Oh, okay. Well, then you know what? We'll save it for that. Number four, is Sark going to lose 6 in a row?
Who they got Saturday?
Saturday they got Iowa State. No. Oklahoma's playing Iowa State. On Saturday they have Tejas is playing West Virginia.
In Morgantown.
Yeah.
Why not?
Kick.
Yeah, why not? I mean,
6 in a row.
Felder, what's going on there, man? Like, if, can you sum it up? Like, I know you do radio in Texas. Like, what's going on?
The defense is bad.
Bijan Robinson's out for the year.
Bijan Robinson is gone. And we have to revisit a point that I said that you kind of dismissed. Maybe Sark's just not a good coach.
I'm not – okay. I mean, sure, at this point, that's certainly got some momentum. The Kansas loss is inexcusable. The larger point, though, for me – I'm not a Sark apologist, but I guess I am for the sake of this argument. Like, you have let the Oklahoma game now beat you five times in a row.
You think that – like
– it can be traced back to that. Absolutely. Yes.
I don't think it can. I don't think that's what it is.
This team has had leads, and they have blown leads. Now, they trailed the entire way against Kansas.
Yeah, but here's the thing. This team has had leads. They come out hot, right?
Yep.
Which to me says he's a really good game planner.
Sure.
What doesn't he do? Adjust.
Right.
They don't adjust. When teams do something different, they have no answer for it. So to me, that's like – maybe you're not that good of a coach. Which is a fantastic role to be in Monday through Friday or Sunday through Friday. But when you get to Saturday and somebody decides to – listen, we ragged on Scott Frost week one, right? When he said, well, when Illinois came out with a different defense, we didn't know what to do. We had to throw away half of our game plan. That's a joke, right?
Yeah, that was week zero. Yeah. No, you're right. You're right.
That's a joke. I'm laughing at it. It's a joke. You shouldn't be a head coach if that's your answer. And the other, like, Sark isn't saying that. I mean, his press conferences are laughable in general right now. But he's not saying that. But he's showing us. They put in a different quarterback. We didn't know what to do. They started loading the box and took away the run, so we didn't know what to do. Like, he's not saying that explicitly, but you can watch the games and you can certainly see it, can't you?
Yeah.
So, like, that's me. That's what I'm thinking. Because if you can't adjust, you can't coach. And you can build up your leads. Like, what do they have to score, 50 points in the first quarter and a half to win a football game? Because the other team's going to do something different and they won't know what to do? You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like, I don't understand. Like, I don't want anybody, I'm not, like, rooting for people to get fired, but when you're 114th in rushing defense, sure, you can say it's the players, and we don't have the guys, and we don't have guys, and our guys are, we don't have guys, guys, we don't have guys. But, man, at the end of the day, if you can't stop if you can't stop anyone, I mean, I don't know. Like, obviously Kansas stormed them, and that's a good game plan, and I really like that for that coaching staff because they just were able to put the blocks to them.
Yeah.
And Oklahoma, that's an adjustment. Oklahoma State, that's an adjustment. Baylor, that's an adjustment. Iowa State just boat raced them.
Bigger picture for me, Felder, like just zooming out on the Big 12, I think this is a fascinating weekend of games in that conference.
Yeah.
Fascinating. Like Iowa State going on the road at Oklahoma. Sooners got some PTSD, man. Like I think Iowa State's going to win this football game.
Well, yeah, that's number two. So we'll skip three. We'll come back to three. But number two, Caleb Williams versus Iowa State's, they're super multiple and their defense is remarkably complex. This is a team, defensively, speaking to the Cyclones, they will go from a four down lineman to a two down lineman to a three down lineman all in one series. They will show blitz and bail. They will show no blitz and then come. They will show blitz and then blitz. I am quite curious what Caleb Williams can do. And we talked about this when they made the switch, right? He's different, but he's not better. He's different, but he's not better. He's different because he can run around a little bit. He's different because he can do some improv. He's different because he's more of a risk taker than Spencer Rattler. But that's not always better.
Right.
And we saw that against Baylor. Dave Aranda, very smart guy. What does he realize? And this is something I noticed in the Georgia game, right? Florida thinks they're going to start AR-15. We'll be good to go. We'll live on his athleticism. And then what happens? Georgia's literally calling out their plays, right? Baylor, same thing. They sat hard on his first read, and then he tried to scramble. But guess what? They pulled two guys to make sure they had two sticks that were able to track him left or right to make sure they could squeeze him in. And what couldn't he do? Do anything, actually. Couldn't do anything. Same thing. I think Iowa State's going to do the same thing. Not that they're not going to do it the same way as Baylor, but this is a team that consistently gets 2-1, 3-2, 4-3. And by that, I mean in the secondary, they have guys covered down. And then they add one extra to the box late. That's going to change your picture. That's going to change your hot picture. That's going to change your pressure picture. And then when you do that, what's he do? That's the question. And that's the part where everybody that gets – these people love their fucking new toys, right? Oh, my God, new toys, so cool. But at the end of the day, most of these kids just want to play with the box. And it's new toys always sound great until they're completely broken on Christmas morning.
Man, I'm having flashbacks as a dad, because Christmas morning. Listen, guys, you want to know what to do? Like, you want to know what your role is if you've got kids on Christmas? Get yourself a screwdriver set. I'm talking flathead, Phillips, maybe a couple different sizes. You need to get the mini ones too. About 30 AA batteries and about 30 AAA batteries. Have yourself a day. Just get ready. Just go ahead and load up now. That's all you're doing on Christmas. Assembling.
I'm big time garbage guy.
Yeah, I like to walk around with the contractor bag and just, yeah, I'm kind of OCD about that too.
I don't even let it hit the floor.
By the way, Iowa State, guess what? They beat Oklahoma in the regular season last year. These guys believe. Yeah. And furthermore, Big 12 championship game, I remember watching this in my hotel room in Atlanta. They choked, man. They choked against Oklahoma. They had three turnovers. They were driving late with the chance to win that game. They threw a pick. Listen, the game's in Norman. I don't care. That's another sneak peek of That's My Dog. I got the Cyclones winning.
Okay.
Straight up, cuz.
We've already done the number one thing I had on the Felder 5, so let's get to the number three thing, which is Frank Harris and Sincere McCormick against UAB's defense.
Nobody breaks down Conference USA football quite like CSN. Hey, guess what? UAB wins out. They win the Conference USA's West Division. Get you some.
Exactly. Exactly. Exactly.
I was talking to the radio voice of the Blazers, David Crane, the other day. Golfing buddy. I'm like, hey, dude, if UAB wins, they win Conference USA West. He's like, yeah, they have to win out. They have to win this week and next week. But, yeah. UTSA, great season. You're ranked. You're undefeated. Don't lose at home to the Blazers, bro.
Oh, damn. They're up to 15?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, UAB, with the exception of what? The La Tech game and I'm not counting Georgia. That's an unfair fight. La Tech and Liberty, their defense has been remarkable.
Yeah. They're the kings of Conference USA. It's their crown. Like, UTSA's got to, like, yeah, they've had a great season. You're right. Like, the Frank Harris and Sincere McCormick thing, like, it's been awesome. But you better handle your business against them Dragons, bro.
They're coming for you. Excuse me, Rice game, too. I forgot that they gave up 30 points to Rice. Goodness. No, I'm serious about this thing. Like, UAB does not play. Bill Clark, those guys play defense. I mean, we had, what was the game that I had? We had the, I think it was UAB FAU game.
Oh yeah, baby.
The one where Grayson Cash had that long ass he had a 100-yard interception return for a touchdown. These guys are good, dude. And those big boys up front, they don't play. They got a dude named Fish.
How you spell it?
F-I-S-H. Like fish.
I thought they were talking about that band up in Vermont, bro.
No. This isn't Ben and Jerry's football, baby.
How about Bill Riley talking about the folks in Colorado?
I love it. That was great.
Walking around in their Burks, breathing the fresh air.
He said breathing that good, clean air. And I was like, okay, I dig it.
It's awesome.
That's different. That's different than breathing LA air.
No shit. Yeah. Big time.
But, yo, I mean, these guys, UAB's defense is legit. They are for real. It took them a little while to find their footing, and then they figured it out, and they're ready to rock and roll. UTSA's got a good defense as well. And they got an offense that's explosive, man. What do they have, the second-best offense in Conference USA?
Explosive.
West Coast? Yeah. They've got technically the number three offense in Conference USA behind Western Kentucky with our guy, Bailey Zappe. And then Marshall with Grant Wells. And then, obviously, UTSA with Frank. I mean, these guys, three really good quarterbacks right there, man.
Yeah.
So, it's going to be, can UAB slow them down enough for their offense to also probe and find ways to make plays? Or does UTSA set the pace and they try to play keep up? So this is going to be interesting. I'm very much looking forward to that game. If Utah Oregon is the game of the week, I think this is game number three for me. I'm going to give my wife a courtesy bow to have Michigan State, Ohio State at number two, and then I'll have UTSA UAB on there. And what's next? What do we got next? We got that's my dog, right?
Yeah, it's time. And listen, last week was so good that we have decided to bring back the imaging. Because, I mean, we went on a hiatus because, quite frankly, we hadn't earned it. We hadn't earned it. Last week we went 3-0. Give it to me, Smokey.
That's my dog. Take that. That's my dog. That's my dog. And anybody got to say anything, you let me know. That's my dog.
Yes. Let's go. You got anybody that you want to ride with, Felder, here on week 12? Because, I mean, I know where I'm going.
I've been thinking a little bit. I've been thinking a lot of bit, actually, about – been thinking about Memphis.
Oh, Memphis was good. Memphis was good to us last week because
they lost.
You guys took ECU.
Yeah, because they lost. They were good to us because they lost.
Yeah.
Uh-oh. My backsplash guys are here.
You better give me your pick now.
Okay, my pick right now, I'm going to take Florida State over Boston College.
Wow. Yikes. I'm sure Tripp loves that. All right, Felder, get out of here. Go get your backsplash, bro.
All right, thank you, guys.
Enjoy
I got to
get
my backsplash in. They're
it's a
here.
Celebration.
Yes, sir.
Backsplash on a Friday.
Hey, plug all my stuff at the end.
Yeah, I got you, buddy. Get out of here. Right. Florida State is a 2-point road dog in Chestnut Hill against Boston College, by the way. Yikes.
Mm-hmm.
Tripp, I know you're all about that life as a closet Seminole fan. Actually, you're out of the closet. You're waving. You're flying the flag because the Noles are hot these days.
We're back.
Oh, okay.
Two words. We're back.
Okay. Very good. Nice win over Miami. Let's see. Noles are 4-6. They are still alive. Oh, they just. Yeah, you're right. Yeah, 4-6. They're still alive for a bowl bid. They got to win at Boston College and they got to win at Florida, which is very doable despite how they started the year. 0-4. Very much in play.
If you look back at the whole season, we're honestly, you know, 25 to 30 plays from being back in the college football playoff.
Wow.
So clean those up. just bright stop. Future.
Just stop. Where are you going with your That's My Dog picks? You were on ECU last week. They were plus 5.5. They won at Memphis. You also gave out as a bonus pick Syracuse. Mm. We don't need to talk about that. Syracuse Louisville last year got absolutely out of hand. So we do not need to discuss that. So,
well, look, Felder kind of swooped in with ECU right in front of me. I had ECU circled as my dog, but I'm not going to make excuses because I really did like Syracuse. I thought it was a good pick. It didn't work out.
They got
out.
Destroyed.
It was 35-0, like 30 seconds into the game.
Wait, you're back, and Felder? You're not getting a backsplash?
False alarm. I don't know who knocked on my door, but false alarm.
Oh, my God. I was so happy for you. I mean, the stars were lining up. That never happens when people show up on time.
I know.
I'm sorry, man. You got real excited, didn't you?
I got very excited. Yeah, Trip. Syracuse, that was a bad one for you, huh?
That was not a good pick.
So make up for it, all right? Like, all right, where are we going this weekend, buddy?
Like, I hate to do it because they've been so good to me this year, but I'm flipping on ECU this week. I'm going to take Navy plus 4 at home, and I've got another one. I've got a second pick this week. Oh, I'm also going with Louisiana at Liberty. They've won 9 in a row, about to make it 10.
What's the line, Louisiana? Well, I mean, it doesn't matter. You're taking them straight up.
So Navy's getting 4, and Louisiana's getting 4.5.
Wow.
In Lynchburg.
Here's the thing about the Navy pick that I actually do like here, Trip, is ECU's got their Super Bowl next week in Greenville. Cincinnati comes
And they've
to
been
town.
On the road 2 weeks in a row, too.
Man, that don't matter.
That of don't course matter. It matters.
No, it don't matter. Felder, I know you had to rush, but you like Florida State at Boston College. We were talking about it. Noles still have a chance. They can sniff a bowl here if they win their next two.
And I think that's big on them. So I think that's why I'm rolling with them.
And
I think they want to get to a bowl game. I think it'll help Norvell feel like he's a little bit more comfortable, a little more stability. The other one that I was going to say is Baylor.
Okay, so I'm glad you brought up Baylor because I've been talking about the Big 12 and how I think this could be like an Armageddon type of weekend for that conference. Yeah. Baylor's at Kansas State, okay? As longtime listeners of the show know, you don't just stroll into the Little Apple, okay? Kansas State is favored in this game. Without looking, Felder, can you tell me who Baylor's two road wins are against this year?
Oklahoma?
Wrong.
Texas.
On the road, who has Baylor beaten on the road this year?
No one.
Texas State, back in week one, and Kansas, bro. That's it.
Okay, I have to go now. He is out front.
Okay, awesome. Very good, Felder. Enjoy your weekend. At it, Felder. Michael Felder, Stadium TV, Hand in the Dirt podcast. Tape Don't Lie.
Tape Don't Lie, the podcast. Tape Don't Lie, the podcast. Hand in the Dirt, the podcast. Campus Insiders on Stadium. Watch stadium.com/live. And also, itsfelder.bulletin.com. Yes,
get out of here. Go get your subway tile, okay? Have
Going
a great time.
Go get
my
subway tile.
Yeah,
thank you, guys.
Have
Take
a phenomenal
it easy.
Time. Unbelievable. Michael Felder, everybody. He is a special, special man. Okay, here's the thing. I, too, Trip, because now the show is just between you and I, Baylor, Kansas State. It's intriguing. You're like, Baylor on the road, ranked number 11, and they're an underdog?
It's a fishy line.
It's a fishy line. Stay away.
I'm not messing
just,
with
just
it.
Stay
probably, I'll probably
away.
Just jump on K-State.
Just stay away, man. It's a 5:30. It's a weird kick time, 5:30. Just stay away from that game, man. You don't want any part of that. Here's where I'm going with
Kansas
That's My Dog. All right? I'm coming off of a win. I gave you Ole Miss last week. Guess what? That was never in doubt. Not once. That game was never in doubt. Ole Miss plus 2.5 at home against A&M. They won that game straight up. Easy. Here's where I'm going this week. I got two noon games. We're going to get these out of the way early on Saturday. Iowa State on the road at Oklahoma. Listen, folks, we've played 11 weeks of the college football season. You are what you are. Oklahoma, they ain't it, man. They ain't it. Iowa State on the road. They beat them last year. They're going to do it again. Like Oklahoma's, okay. Oklahoma's not going to just flip the switch, man. They don't have it. They don't have the extra gear. They've picked up a loss. It's over. I mean, I think we're done here. I really do. So Iowa State on the road in Norman. That's a noon game.
Don't hate it. Don't hate it.
The other game, we're going back to the well. I don't care about Wake Forest and North Carolina. That was weeks ago. I'm over. Mm-hmm. It's behind me. Give me the Deeks on the road at Clemson, +4.5. Wake Forest, Tripp, is the only team in the FBS this year that has scored 35 or more in every game. Let that sink in for a little bit.
Is that right?
Wake Forest is the only team in FBS football who has scored 35 or more in every game this year. You've been watching Clemson football all year. What's the one thing they don't do well?
They don't score.
There it is. Thank you very much. DJ's still a little banged up. Yeah, they beat UConn last week, but go back and look at the box score, man. Wasn't spectacular. And it's UConn, for God's sakes. Wake Forest only has to win one of the next two, Clemson this week or Boston College next week. Just win one of those two, and they're going to Charlotte for the ACC championship. They take care of business in Death Valley at high noon on Saturday. Give me Dave Clawson and the Deeks to win at Clemson.
And you know what the best part about that is? You're 29 hours away from cashing that check because it's an early game.
Thank you.
There you go. You just get it out of the way.
I hate the night games. I hate having to sit around and wait for it. I really do. I like I wake up to winners, baby. Yeah. Wake up.
I got to wait on ECU's 3:30 kick, so I'm going to be it's going to be a little while on that one.
You'll be locked and loaded for that trip. I have no doubt. All right. So we're going to get out of here. Enjoy the games coming up this weekend. Listen to the Blitz. It's Red Zone Radio for college football. Sirius XM channel 84. That's ESPNU Radio on Sirius XM. Or you can listen for free on the Varsity Network app. It's an actual app. You have to go into like your Apple Store or Android, download the Varsity Network, listen to the Blitz. We're on from noon Eastern until midnight Eastern. It's 12 straight hours, limited commercial interruption, every game on the board involving a ranked team. Live play-by-play from the school announcers. You will hear the touchdowns as they happen. Also, the host isn't a bad guy either. He's a pretty good dude. So, Tripp, enjoy your weekend, and let's get some winners, okay? That's my dog, baby. Let's close this thing out strong. Put some gifts under the tree.
No sweat locks. We're good.
That's what we're here for. For Bill Riley, for Michael Felder, for Tripp Hurd, I'm Stephen Hartzell. Check us out on Twitter at CSNowTweets. Enjoy the weekend, everybody. Be safe. And we'll talk to you guys on Tuesday.